your name's not going to mean anything to me. You cringe when you look at them and you know you're not going to use them. Delete these things. Photos are important, but they're not enough. If what you're putting out on social looks completely separate and different from what your website looks like, there's a moment of, am I in the right place? And you've now...
Stop posting photos on Instagram. Well, I'm only joking, sort of. Think about, though, how many salon owners are posting pictures of blonde balayage, lash lifts, beautiful nails. Well, there's thousands, hundreds of thousands. So how are clients supposed to know that they should go to your salon when there are at least 20 near identical pictures of blonde balayage in their feet? Well, one word I want to talk about today is Canva. And today I'm joined by Canva verified expert, Brenda Cadman. And she's going to talk about the Canva effect, how to create scroll-stopping social media posts. This episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast is brought to you by Salon Mastery. And if you're an ambitious salon owner ready to reach the $1 million salon mark, then Salon Mastery may be the right fit for you. And we can help you create a roadmap to success, attract dream clients, build a rockstar team, become a true salon CEO with coaching, accountability, weekly workshops. And if you want to talk more about it, then click apply now in the show notes of this episode. All right, let's jump in and meet Brenda.
Brenda, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Pleased to have you here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So let's start with, who are you, Brenda? Where are you in the world? What do you do? And how did you get to be doing it?
So I am a Canva verified expert. I'm actually one of only 55 or so of them in the world at this time. And I am based in Prince Edward Island in Canada. So it's quite snowy here today, but I love it. I'm originally from the West Coast and there's still some novelty to the winters here on the East Coast. But I have only been a verified expert since, that program launched at the beginning of 2022. Before that, I was a Canva certified creative, but my background is actually as a website development company. I ran that companies in that field for over 20 years. So I've been an entrepreneur for a little over 24 years now. So it's been a long road, a lot of trying all sorts of things between, January 2000 and now, but this is where I've definitely settled, and it feels like a really niche, rewarding kind of position to be in.
I love that. I love the evolution of business. That's really great. Yes. So one of the reasons I'm excited to have you here is I feel like, first of all, Canva took over the world in terms of design and socials and marketing and all of the things. I've been a big fan for a really long time. And it's a tool that all of the salon owners that we work with use in one way or another. And so it becomes a really important part of business. But as I was talking to you before we pushed record, it's also a beast that you could get lost in the deep, dark hole. And one of the reasons I'm excited to have you here is I want to simplify it a little bit, because simplicity means ease typically. And I think we can overcomplicate the things and we can lose the stuff that we're doing. So I thought let's start with some of the typical mistakes that you see business owners, small business owners, like the salon owners that are listening today. What are the mistakes that we make and what should we be doing to avoid those?
You are absolutely right that it's very easy to get overwhelmed by the program, because not only does it have so many features, just when you think you've kind of gotten a handle on everything that's there, they then update things and roll new things out. It becomes this rabbit hole that you can go down. You can spend all your time in, and trust me, I know, is what I do. And I still feel like I don't know, a whole lot of what it's capable of doing, because they are constantly rolling out updates. But I think it's really important to focus not on the shiny new things, but on a lot of the fundamentals and the foundational components of it that are actually relevant for a business, because there are a lot of different industries using this platform. There's a lot of folks who are using it for completely non-business purposes. They're using it for education. They're using it for personal reasons. And business owners use it a little bit differently. But one of the areas I see a lot of business owners kind of dropping the ball is they are not using that brand kit feature that comes with it. It's only on the pro account. So if you are on free and you've ever clicked on that brand option in the left-hand menu of your Canva homepage, it will usually say something to the effect of upgrade now to try this out. But it is a really fundamental part of it because it's going to ensure that you have all of your branding assets, your logos, your colors, your fonts, your images at your fingertips. That's going to make it a lot faster and easier for you to create the content that you need. But it's also going to ensure that you have a really consistent a really consistent brand experience that you're providing across everything that you're creating in there. And it should also extend to any marketing materials outside of Canva, like your website. But you do want to make sure that you have a really cohesive, consistent brand. And I see a lot of business owners not taking that step and just kind of choosing whatever templates and photos and colors kind of strike their fancy on a given day. And that is not going to be doing you any favors.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up because I know as an industry, shiny objects runs rife, speaking from experience. I am a recovering shiny object syndrome person. and there are a lot of cool features in there. There's a lot happening. Mm-hmm. There are templates and designs for all sorts of things. I can get lost in there for hours just because it brings out the creative side. I love to play. But I can get lost with shiny objects. And so I love that you brought us back to let's be consistent and true to our brand. Why is being consistent and true to brand so important for our marketing? Like, why should we actually care about that?
There, in order to build loyalty and trust with a brand, you have to recognize it. And in order to recognize it, they have to be consistent with what they look like. I mean, there's certainly no shortage of content out there. And if you're scrolling through Instagram or whatever, you know, the choice of social media platform is for a given day, it's very easy. It all kind of blends together. And unless you have a really distinct look and feel, you're not going to stand out as being a particular brand. And we need that recognition. Whereas if you have a really cohesive, consistent brand, number one, you're going to have that recognition. So they're probably going to know that the content's from you before they even see your name on it. But it also is going to be really important in terms of creating kind of that seamless, great user experience that we want to provide. Because if what you're putting out on your social platforms doesn't look like what your website is presenting, when they do get to your website, which is ultimately what you want them to do, to book a consult and actually reach out and make that connection with you. If what you're putting out on social looks completely separate and different from what your website looks like, there's a moment of, am I in the right place? And you've now seeded some doubt there. You don't want to do that. You don't want to have any friction in that experience. And this is just one of the ways that you're going to be able to create a really consistent, cohesive, wonderful experience. Because as you know, branding is not just your logo. It's every touch point that you're going to have. And if their first experience with you is, ooh, am I in the right place? You're not really off to a great start.
I love that. It sounds like am I in the right place? Oh, yes, I'm in the right place. We feel like people get over that and carry on, but it's actually not the truth. I like that you said you seeded doubt, and every moment that there is something else that is a friction touch point, you build on the doubt until you lose trust with the brand. That's kind of what you're saying, right?
Yeah. And I mean, this is an opportunity to look as professional as possible at every single touch point, make it feel easy, make it feel like a great experience. And there is a cumulative effect to that. It really is as simple as making sure that whatever you're putting out there, that it's consistent. It doesn't have to be difficult, but it does require some effort to make sure that you are taking the steps to ensure that everything that's going out is, it doesn't have to look identical, but it does need to all work together and be identifiable as belonging to the same brand.
Not identical, but identifiable. I love that. That's really good. Okay. You said something to me really interesting before we push record, and I want to pick up on that. And that is that photos are not enough when it comes to social media marketing. Photos are not enough. What do you mean by that? Let's dig into that a little bit.
Social. So photos are a necessary part of your marketing, and particularly when you do something that is really visual. Like, I spent a lot of time when I was running my website development company working in the wedding and events space. And boy, if there's an industry that is, photograph driven, that's it. You need that for social proof. You need to be able to demonstrate the work that you actually do. If I am choosing a stylist, I want to know that they are capable of, creating what I want them to be able to create. But that, back to that point about the branding, the recognizable brand, two photos, you as stylists might be able to, salons might be able to tell the difference of that's so-and-so's technique. I don't know that as a consumer. I'm not able to recognize you from a photo. I need that visual branding component, that color palette that's consistent, those patterns and textures that you use across the board on all of your social graphics and your website. I need to be able to identify you in another way. Photos are important, but they're not enough.
Hey, I just wanted to jump in here and interrupt super quick to say that my team and I are on a mission to elevate the industry. We want to change the perspective of the industry that this is a career for school dropouts who like painting nails and playing with hair. Damn it, we're business owners. We are CEOs, and I need your help to get out that message. Too many owners are working 60 hours a week or more and not paying themselves. I don't want to change that in this industry. When you subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, the algorithm gets a jolt and the podcast is pushed out to more salon owners just like you. Together, we can elevate the industry. All right. That's all I needed to ask. Back to the episode.
I love that. Making it identifiable and connecting that picture or that transformation to your brand specifically. I guess we're relying a little bit on social posts. We're relying on the top line of this is the brand, the page name, but it's not enough. We need to connect that visually to the whole brand. Is that what you're saying?
Well, and also, I mean, think about how folks are actually consuming your content. They're not necessarily going to the place that has your name on it. They're seeing the images first. And then if I'm intrigued by what you do, I may go visit your actual platform feed page, whatever that is, and because I'll want to consume more from you at that point. But if I am being exposed to your content for the very first time, there's a good chance I'm not, your name's not going to mean anything to me initially.
Right. So. Yeah, true. Okay. I love that. I feel like that's really important. Okay. Outside of the branding piece, consistency, being recognizable, let's go back to Canva and some of the cool features that it offers. I feel like in the last couple of years, the whole face of it has changed. As a company, we're in Canva all of the time, but myself personally, I'm in there less. When I do need to go in there, I get a little lost. and I get like a magpie, I look at the shiny cool stuff.
Yeah.
So what are some of the new cool features that we should know about so we can go and just have a little moments, shiny object syndrome?
If you're looking for shiny objects, certainly Canva is not alone in jumping on the AI bandwagon. There's a lot of the features that are being driven by AI now, and they put a lot of emphasis on that at their Canva Create event and also at their most recent kind of public new feature rollout this past fall. So they have what's called their Magic Studio, and it's a series of different kinds of features that you can use to do all kinds of interesting things with your photos. So the earliest feature that they now consider part of this Magic Suite is a background remover, which a lot of folks will be aware has been there for some time, but now they've certainly refined that, but now you can do things like Magic Edit, where you can not only remove something, but you can edit it and replace it with something else. And the one that I really like that's come out now is Magic Expand. So if you are trying to fit one of your, an existing photo or just a stock photo even that you're wanting to use into a space and it's just not quite big enough, and if you crop it, it's not filling the space, you can use their Magic Expand feature to give you some selections, some options of what that space might actually look like if there was something else there. Sometimes it gives you really creative, wonderful results. Sometimes it gives you bonkers results that there's just no way you would ever use. It is, there's some, I've seen some very creepy results that come out of it, usually involving people with very warped looking hands. But if you're trying to, for example, expand a background, it can use AI to kind of fill it in, and that can end up, you know, giving you a little more flexibility in terms of creating images that fill the space and don't feel like you were trying to force an image to fill the space. So I really like that Magic Expand, but there's also one that allows you to remove text out of an image, like to grab the text component and remove it and replace it even. On one hand, it's amazing. On the other hand, it's a little bit terrifying what you're able to do in terms of photo manipulation and how easy it is now. But I would definitely, you know, recommend exploring some of those magic edit or magic kind of options that are available in there. Now, I don't think it's the last of them. I think you're going to see some more stuff coming out as well.
Yeah. Okay. I'm excited to jump in there myself. All right. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, the longer we use the tool, the more stuff is inside. The uploads, the uploads folder. Pretty busy in there, and then my favorite photo, where the heck is it? And somebody new in the team wants to find their stuff. Can we have a brief conversation about actually being a little bit organized? It takes a little bit, in my experience, takes a little bit more time up front to be organized, but I always appreciate it later to be able to come back and actually find the stuff, or my team members to be able to find the stuff. What's your sort of top tip on managing what could become chaotic inside of Canva?
And it's really as simple as staying on top of it. You obviously, if you have been using it for an extended period of time, you probably already have a lot of content in there, and it can feel incredibly overwhelming. The last thing you want to do, probably, if you're seeing mounds of designs and images, is to have to sit down and put some sort of order to the chaos. But it really is important, if you are newer to using it, great time to start. Let's get some folders in there and get into that habit. If you have been using it, if you're a veteran user of the program, you are either going to have to carve out the time, either in a big chunk or in a set of consistent little chunks, to organize what's there, or you're going to have to select it. You're going to have to dump it into move it into a single folder that you can tackle at a later date, and then start fresh. A lot of folks, if they are feeling, you know, absolutely stuck when they look at their account, and they feel like they don't have the bandwidth, that emotional bandwidth, to tackle it, move it into a folder and start fresh, and tackle it in smaller chunks if you're able to over time. But you do want to get a clear deck. And then it is a matter of either, when you have had a little design session, take a couple of minutes to move it at the end of it, or set a weekly task, you know, actually put it on your calendar, put 5 or 10 minutes onto the calendar at the end of the week. Just keep on top of it so that you don't have to go back and deal with a backlog, because I promise you, the time that you spend staying on top of it and organizing it is going to save you so much more time later when you are trying to find that one presentation that you designed 6 months ago that you could be able to use as a starting point again now, if you could find it. But if it's going to take you hours to locate it, you may feel like you're better off just starting from scratch. So you will claw hours back if you spend minutes here and there staying on top of it while you're at it.
Okay, this is the best advice ever. First, I want to touch on the fact that you said you don't have enough emotional bandwidth. I was like, that is a thing. Do you know, like, this is Canva, this is design, we shouldn't be emotionally involved in this, but it's true. Emotional bandwidth for managing these types of things. So I love that you gave us permission to just put it in a folder, start fresh, like start with a clean page. Like, emotionally, that's a really good thing to do. And then look, nobody can say I don't have 5 minutes. It's just choosing to install the discipline to do it for those 5 minutes and make space for it. You're going to save hours later. Golden advice.
And I mean, if all you have the energy to start with right away is just going through and, you know, spotting the designs that you will never need, the copies of the templates that you thought you would use and you didn't end up using, or the duplicates that you created of something, meaning to do something with it, and you didn't end up using it, or designs that are so old and so outdated that they, you know, you cringe when you look at them and you know you're not going to use them, delete these things. There's no point trying to create an organizational system and a folder structure for designs and images that you know you just don't need anyways. That's going to take a level of effort and time that is absolutely useless. It would be the equivalent of going into your office, knowing you need to organize your filing system and trying to figure out what folders you want to put the junk mail in. Unless you're keeping something in there as reference that you're going to want for later on, you don't need to organize the garbage. So let's get the garbage out first, see what you're left with, and then you can start figuring out what sort of categories does this chunk down into, what sort of folders do I need to support it. But let's save yourself some trouble and get rid of the garbage in the first place.
I love it. Good advice. You heard it here first. Okay, Brenda, you're a business owner. You have been for a long time. What is a quote or a mantra that keeps you kind of on track and super focused?
It's a lesson that has been it was a hard lesson to learn. And you actually almost used the exact phrase a little earlier when we were talking. And it's stop overcomplicating things. Because I am somebody who wants to get it perfect. I'm somebody who wants to do it just so and get it, you know, I am my own worst enemy a lot of the time in terms of progress towards completion of things that I want to do, because I want to do it in a very, very specific way. And I need to stop overcomplicating it. Sometimes it's okay to let things be easy. And that progress is better than the perfection. So that is something I still have to repeat to myself. And it's really only in the past year that I've really started embracing it. And it's remarkable what happens when you allow a little bit of ease into your life and give yourself a little bit of grace. So you don't have to get it perfect.
Yeah. I love that. Giving yourself some grace and keeping it simple is quite hard. Which is kind of funny.
little irony there.
Yeah, a little irony there, exactly. All right. What is a book or a resource or a podcast you've listened to recently that you think everybody should get their hands on?
And it's funny because you and I were kind of talking about this a little bit before we started recording, and I racked my brain about this because I'm grateful you gave me a little heads up that you'd be asking that, because the reality is I don't read a lot of business books. I don't listen to a lot of business podcasts anymore. After, you know, being in business for a couple of decades, I'm kind of set in certain ways, but I also will pick up little bits here and there. Most of the content I tend to consume is non-business because my brain needs a break. But one thing I will always recommend strongly, and this is coming from somebody who started their business long before social media was a thing, is find yourself a community of people that are, you know, it doesn't just have to be folks who are at the same stage of business as you. A variety of experiences is important. Those who are further along and can look back and give you advice, but those who are maybe earlier in the game that you can provide advice to and also learn new perspectives from. I think having access to an online community where you can figure things out with the people who understand the space that you're in is invaluable. It's been far more valuable to me than any book or podcast that I've consumed.
Yeah, I love that. Okay. So finding yourself a good community. But what I did hear you say is I'm choosing to give my brain a break from business. Mm-hmm. And that is something that the older I get, the more I recognize is super important. And I wasn't very mm-hmm. good at it when I was young. I'm much better at it now and actually actively seek it if I haven't had it for a little while. And I think that is also one of the most important things to do. Do you know, like just take a break, create some white space and switch off for a little bit.
And I think it's going to enable you to be more receptive to the creative thinking that you need to do about your marketing and your business development and all those things if you are not completely burnt out. So, you know, I find there are a lot of value in just spending an hour listening to a Conan O'Brien interview, or on the other end of the spectrum, you know, I've just been re-listening to the first season of Dr. Death, which is dark, but it's it's interesting, and it just, you know, fires me up as far as give me a little bit of that mental respite that I need in order to be able to go back and tackle some of the big pressing issues and questions that I've been stuck on up until then.
Yeah. All right. Brenda, I know people are going to want to stalk you and find out the things that you do. On that note, what is it actually that you do? I think this is something that we haven't sort of covered. If I wanted your help, what would it be?
So I have a variety of resources and services, all with the focus of helping business owners, small business owners specifically, largely service providers across a wide variety of industries, to figure out how to learn to use Canva and to be more effective and efficient using it. So I have a lot of free resources. I also have courses that are available on demand if you're wanting to learn how to, you know, use Canva for the first time, or how to get organized in Canva, or how to create specific kinds of materials for your business. And then I have also, you know, those who just don't want to tackle that organization, but they know it's holding their team up, they can also delegate that to me, and I'll actually go in, whip their account into shape so it's no longer a hot mess, and you know, free up a lot of time for them when it comes to their Canva design workflow.
Sounds like something I need you to do for me. Right, where can people find you, Brenda? What's your dub dub in your socials?
The easiest place to find all of those things is to go to brendacadman.com. And then I am on Instagram. It's a little cobwebby over there right now, but that I have promised one of my fellow verified experts that I will tackle that in the coming weeks. So Instagram, you'll find me at Brenda Cadman. And then I've got a little YouTube account over there as well. Again, youtube.com/Brenda Cadman. It's pretty easy to find me if you use my name.
Yeah, great. Really appreciate your insights and the conversation we've had today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, I hope you had your pen and paper and you took some notes. I'm about to go and reorganize my entire Canva profile now. So thank you again, Brenda, for joining us on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. And as a business owner, I know how frustrating it is when you want to make a quick post and suddenly you can't find your logo, can't find that photo, you've lost the image and the colors look different to normal. Suddenly this 5-minute job turns into 30 minutes. So I hope you learned something from this episode and you feel excited about adding new design elements to your regular social media content. Because after all, the goal here is to build brand recognition. I'll be keeping an eye out on your socials for all the cool colors and fonts and content. One more thing, I really need your help. I really want to help build our industry and show salon owners that they can make the $1 million mark, that they can spend their time with their family without feeling guilty, feeling like they need to work 60 hours a week. So help me reach more salon owners. Click the subscribe button on this podcast. More people listening means more people get help. All right, ciao from me. Thanks for joining me on another episode of the podcast. Tune in every week as I reveal the latest insights and advice on what it takes to truly master your inner salon CEO and master your salon success. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or Spotify, or visit us online at www.salonownerscollective.com. But make sure to join me in my Facebook group for answers to common questions and much, much more. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to tuning in with you again next week.